Let me invite you to take your Bibles once again, please, and turn to back to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Well, last year, about this time, we did a four-part sermon series that we called Local Church Essentials. Always good to kind of get some of those basics in place at the beginning of a new year. Maybe nothing new, but certainly to be reminded of these things as we start in a new year. In that little series, we considered such things as the makeup of the local church, the support of the local church, the importance of prayer for the local church, and even serving in the local church. Do you remember? I knew you wouldn't. But that's okay, because I'm going to remind you this morning, not of those things we've already talked about, but another essential, really, that we need to have in the local church. And, of course, all of these things come out of the Scriptures, out of the Word of God, and so we know that they are important truths to have. There are, of course, other essentials that we could have or maybe should have considered last time. So this morning we're going to add kind of to what we did last year and want to take a look at the biblical pictures of the local church and see what those pictures inform us of what we are as a local church and how we ought to continue to function. These are images that communicate vital and fundamental truths concerning the local church. Once again, probably nothing new, but certainly we need to be reminded of them. So before we get to the pictures, though, let me ask you, do you remember what the makeup of the church is, the local church, and where we went in the Bible to find that truth? I was going to play the Jeopardy little lingo here, give you time to think about it. The makeup of the local church and where we went in the Bible to find that truth. I know it was a year ago, but still, you ought to have that in mind. The verse was Philippians 1:1. And in that verse, Paul mentions three groups of servants in that local church. The three groups of servants are saints, bishops, and deacons. Right? Saints, bishops, and deacons, and we obviously talked at length about that last year, but let me just remind you. Saints are the born-again, saved, baptized members of the local church. Right? The word saint means holy, holy ones. We have been justified from our sins, we've been saved, and we belong to the Lord Jesus, and now also then to the local church, members of the local church. The word bishops is a Greek word episkopos, that means overseer. These are the leaders in the local church. And, of course, we noted that the word bishop is one of four terms that are used to define the one office, the leadership office in the church. The others are pastor, elder, and Revelation 2 and 3, angel, as well as the bishop. All four terms describe one office, the one leadership office, but define four aspects of that office. The word bishop, meaning overseer or manager, is the responsibility of the leader in the local church to care for things related to the church. The word pastor is literally the Greek word is shepherd. Caring for the flock, this is the term that we use around here for myself, one that I like better than bishop. It expresses, I think, to a better degree the work that we do in caring for the quote-unquote flock, to shepherd, to care for, to protect, to feed you all. That is part of the task that the pastor has. The third term is elder, presbyteros. You've heard of the Presbyterian Church. This is where they get their name from, presbyteros. It simply means an elder, someone who is older, one who is mature. in life and in spiritual matters as well. Paul said to Timothy in 1 Timothy 3, verse 6, that those who would serve in the capacity of bishop slash elder slash pastor should not be a novice, lest they get caught up in the snare of the devil. So not a novice. They are to be mature elders, older men. And then the term angel, the Greek word is angelos. It means messenger. Very good. And if the angels in Revelation 2 and 3, who received the letters from the Lord Jesus in those seven churches, if that is meant to designate the pastor, then we would understand that the pastor of the church should have a message to declare. And the pastor then, as a angel or a messenger, has a message to declare to the congregation, a message not made up by him per se, but communicated by him. The message that we have received is right here. It's the word of God. And as Paul said to Timothy, preach the word. And so there's a message that we need to communicate. And we love preaching the word of God, preaching the Bible around here. So as angel, the pastor is a messenger of the local congregation. The pastor, bishop, elder, angel, from the scriptures we know, is a qualified man. Sorry, ladies. He's a qualified man called by the Lord Jesus Christ to serve the spiritual and practical needs of the local church by management and oversight, by preaching, and by leading. So you got saints, y'all. You've got bishops slash pastor slash elder slash angel. And the third one is deacons. Diakonos is the Greek word. It literally means servant, right? And deacons are qualified men who are chosen by the saints to serve the needs of the congregation and the local church. So that's just a really quick summary of the makeup of the local church. Now, those sermons from last year are available if you would like to listen to them. Just let me know and we can make you a CD copy. Or if you like to perhaps read the sermon notes, we might be able to make up some transcripts from all of that so you could read the notes. So that's just a little bit about what we did last year. So now this morning, we want to consider the pictures of the local church from out of the scriptures. There are several, but we'll only look at three, and due to our time, we'll look at them rather quickly this morning. Before we get to them, let me ask you the question, what is the church? What is the local church? The term church is the Greek word ekklesia, which means to be called out, a called out assembly, a called out company. And so we understand that the church is a company of all men and women, young people, boys and girls, who are born again, blood bought, saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ as the only begotten Son of the living God. As the church is justified, sanctified, and redeemed, the church actually exists from the beginning, somewhere around 32 AD, when the Spirit of God came and indwelt the 120 people in that upper room in Acts chapter 2, the beginning of the church. And so all of those who have been saved, born again, by faith through Christ, all up the way up to whenever the rapture will take place, because the rapture is Christ coming to the clouds of the air to catch up the church, which is his bride. And so all of those make up the church. Now, the local church is a specific geographical expression of the larger church. In the local church, we have people who are saved by the grace of God through faith in Jesus Christ, baptized by immersion, and then thirdly added to the assembly, added to the company. Keep your finger in 1 Corinthians 12, but turn back to Acts chapter 2 just for a brief moment. This is the beginning of the church, the local church, in fact, in Jerusalem. Acts chapter 2, verse 41, Peter just preached a great gospel message, and people were moved by it, and they said, "What do we do?" And Peter says, "Well, you need to." Where is it here? Verse 38, Peter said unto them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." In verse 41, we read this, "Then they that gladly received his word," and our understanding of receiving his word would mean saved, just like Abraham, remember? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. So here are people who believed what Peter preached about Jesus Christ. They received him as Savior and Lord, and then it says they were baptized, baptizo, immersed, buried in water, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. So for the local church, the process is saved by the grace of God through faith in Christ, baptized by immersion, and then added to the local company of believers. And the local church ought to be an expression of the bigger picture church that we're going to look at in just a few moments. So let's consider some pictures of the local church in the scriptures. Number one. The church is pictured in Scripture as a body. As a body. Now, back to 1 Corinthians 12. Pictured as a body. Just scan over the verses again from verse 12 down through 27. And I think we get the idea, right? That we are a body of believers. Not just a crowd of people. But there is a connection that we have between us all. We as Christians, all of us here, are significant and necessary parts of the body of Christ. And who is the head? It's the Lord Jesus, right? It's the Lord Jesus who is the head of the church. You can look at Colossians chapter 1, verse 18 to get that truth, where it talks about the head of the body is Christ and the church. The head of the church is Christ, and the church is his body. Now, a body is a living organism with a variety of parts. Yeah, just take a look at yourself. It's a living organism, a variety of parts, parts having specific and vital functions for the smooth operating of the body. When a body has a part missing, depending on what that part is, the body might still function, but maybe at a diminished level. Or perhaps you can be like Idella and get parts replaced, hips and knees, and still be able to, and they're all working. So, but if they weren't, we probably wouldn't be seeing Idella around here very much. And so we just take a look at our own body and get an idea of what the body of Christ really is all about. The point of the picture of the local church as a body is that we need each other to function in a way that God designed in a way in which he is pleased. We can't all be the same part, right? That's what Paul said. If we're all an eye, where were the hearing? If we're all ears, where would be the smelling? We all can't be the same part. We all have various parts to play. My part is to serve as pastor in this local church. Robert Wilkinson and Dave McCracken, their part is to serve as deacons here. Your part, as saints, is to use the gifts that God has given to you to minister to one another and even beyond. You might think about helping with seniors. That's an opportunity for ministry, maybe in accordance to your gift of serving. Helping out with our seniors or maybe Sunday Bible school. Perhaps the Lord would have you to be the encourager to others here in this place. Maybe you want to edify someone, because that's part of the ministry of our church, is edifying one another. Certainly, perhaps your major gift of serving is praying. Praying for missionaries, praying for the ministry of the church, praying for others who have needs. Some people are real prayer warriors. and spend a lot of time praying for all these various needs. And others who have, jobs and other responsibilities maybe can't spend as much time in praying, but others certainly do. Let me say this, we dare not be jealous over what others can do. We dare not be unduly critical of how others carry out their service. We ought to help each other to be the best at what we can do, and all for the glory of God. So the body is a living organism, the body which is the church. It's a living organism. We're part of each other. We need each other for the full functioning, proper functioning of this church. So what part of the body are you? Well, that's up to you and between you and the Lord and the Holy Spirit as he leads and directs and gifts you. But I just simply say to you, do what God has given you to do for the benefit of the body, for the well-being of the body, and for the glory of God. Secondly, the church is pictured as a... This is alliterated this morning. Not only a body, but now also a building. The church is pictured in Scripture as a building founded upon the rock Christ Jesus, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 20 tells us that the church is built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets. And so in considering a foundation that's been well laid, then we think about the superstructure that's built on top of that foundation. Keep your fingers here in 1 Corinthians 12, but come back to chapter 3 for just a minute. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 9 and 10 says, "For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry, ye are God's," what? "Building. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon, but let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ." And then he talks about what we build upon that foundation that might earn some variety of rewards, gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, stubble, and so on. If you you come down to verse 16, Paul says, "Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are." And he's writing to the Corinthian church. So the picture from the scriptures for the local church is that of a building. We are actually a temple for the Spirit of God, and in which worship and praise and all other things that go along with worshiping the Lord are to be carried out. Peter said this in 1 Peter 2 verse 5. "Ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ." So we are a building made up of lively or living stones. Each one of you is a part of the building of this local church. Living, I like lively. That's a good old King James Bible word. Lively stones. What do you imagine or think of when you hear the word lively? Don't you think of something that's moving, that's working, that's animated? And I mean, we come to church not just to sit and soak here, but we come to learn, we come to worship, we come to minister to each other. And so we are lively stones in this building called the local church. And Paul points out the fact that this building is also a temple for the Holy Spirit. Now, a building requires an architect and a contractor to exist. The one who designed The church is Almighty God. He's the one who instituted the church. And he is also the contractor. Right? The Lord Jesus said in Matthew 16:18, I say unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, he says, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So God's not only the architect, he's also the contractor to build the church and the expressions of it in the local church. So the building of the church, as a building, is Christ's work, right? He said, I will build my church. It's his work. All of us are kind of like subcontractors to the main one, who is the Lord himself. We have our parts and bits to play. Paul said here, according to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, others build thereon. So we serve the Lord in the sense of building up the church, but he is the one, he's the contractor, and he's the one who does the work, maybe subletting some of that to our responsibilities as well. And we trust the Lord Jesus to do what he promised to do here at Berean Baptist Church. He promised to build his church. We trust him that he'll do that here in this place. What that means is, however many people he wants to have here in this location, and whoever he wants to have here in this location, is up to him. We don't have to go out and quote-unquote market the church. We don't have to come up with gimmicks and little things to try and get people to come in. We just trust the Lord that it's his responsibility to build the church. Our responsibility is to be committed to the tasks he's given us to do. Right? Jude 3, earnestly contend for the faith once delivered to the saints. Acts chapter 1, verse 8, we are to be witnesses unto the Lord Jesus, the things he's done. And we need to be good witnesses. John 4, we are to worship the Father in spirit and in truth. Throughout the New Testament, we are to pray for one another, love one another, encourage one another, build each other up. All of these things we do, but Christ is the one who's building the church, and we're happy to be in the kind of situation we are right now. I mean, we'd like to have more people, obviously. We'd like to have lots of kids and young people, but the Lord is building the church, and we'll trust him to do that. And we'll be responsible to do those things he's given us to do. And all of that, if we do that and he does his part, then we should be happy with where we are and what we're doing. In a body with a variety of different members, so the church as a building has a variety of different components which make it a useful structure. In a building, you've got things like concrete, wood, metal, glass, wood, brick, asphalt, roof tiles, drywall, paint. All of those things come together in the design that has been made and under the supervision of the excellent contractor. The building has a foundation, and then the superstructure built on the foundation, and then the roof to close it all in. The church has similar components, I believe. Some of you are bricks. Some of you may be interior components of wood and drywall. Maybe some of you are more like the fixtures that you find in a church, like the sink in the kitchen, or the lights or the fans. Right? All of these are important parts of the one structure called the church. And all these various components go together to make one building. Some buildings are big. Some buildings are small. We're a conundrum here because we have a small spiritual building in a large physical building. But once again, we thank the Lord for providing this place for us. Some are just the right size for the occupants to live comfortably in. I kind of think that's us here. So what building component are you? Foundation materials? Outside materials to protect the house within? Or maybe you're like some of the hidden components in a building, like the electrical wiring, which is there, but you can't see it, because it's hidden in the walls, but it's still there. And I know some of you like to be kind of in the background and don't want to be up front and seen too much, but still there's work that needs to be done. There but not seen. There are some building components that are like that. Some people think that they are the building inspector. When we bought this building and we did our renovations and we had our first Sunday service here, first Sunday in December of 2005, and the building inspector came in the following week and said, "You can't be meeting here." And he posted a thing on the window saying, "You cannot yet come in and use this building for a church service," because we didn't have all of the emergency lighting done, we didn't have all of the exit signs in, and there was a few other things. And so he slapped a paper on us that we could not meet until we had fixed up all of these concerns. So we worked like crazy for 2 weeks here to get all of those things caught up, had him come back in again, and he gave us approval to meet. He set a maximum occupancy load. I think it's 175. We posted it at the end wall there. And so Christmas Sunday of 2005, we had our official first service here in this building. In the meantime, we were meeting over at Christian Academy's facilities for at least two Sundays. Some people think that they are the building inspector, but they are not, right? The only inspector is the Lord Jesus. Sorry, I'm just really dry this morning. So whatever component we are, let us fulfill that purpose in the local church to the glory of God, right? Being assured that what we are doing is right in his sight and his purposes for us. Very quickly, the third picture in the scriptures that we have of the church is that of a bride. A bride for the Lord Jesus. Turn over to Ephesians chapter 5. This will be the last. Ephesians 5, in verse 25 it says, "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, having not spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish." That is the picture of a beautiful bride that the Lord Jesus is working hard at presenting to himself. He has sanctified the church. He's cleansed it with the washing of water by the word, which is the scriptures, so he can present it to himself, a glorious church, a beautiful bride, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that it should be holy and without blemish. Christ is working to present to himself, to prepare his bride and to present his bride to himself with that substance. Let us not interfere with what Christ is doing in our lives or in our church to sanctify and to cleanse us, to make us holy. Let us not hinder what he wants to do in our church to prepare us to meet him as a beautiful bride for himself. Rather, let us submit ourselves to him and to the Holy Spirit as a proper and loving husband, as a wife submits herself to her husband, the scripture says. So the church is to submit to the Lord Jesus. The church will be a beautiful bride on the day of the wedding. And let us help the Lord and do our part in making sure that we are beautiful ourselves for that day. So the local church is the unique representation of the spiritual church, but in a physical geographical location. Berean Baptist Church is a local church located at 932 Leithorn Street in the city of London. We are a body of believers, a building of believers, and a bride, part of the bride of Christ in this local church. And we have to live up to the standards that are laid down for us in the Word of God for what we are. And be willing to submit to the Spirit of God, submit to His Word, submit to Christ, and be found doing those things that He's given us to do. The local church is not a business organization, although we are to be organized and do everything decently and in order. We're not a business organization. Rather, we are an organism, a living, breathing body of believers in Christ. We're not an entertainment center. We are not a clubhouse. We are not a business. We're not a theater. We're not even just a bunch of people who hang out for a few hours on Sunday. We're not a food bank. We're not a secondhand clothing store, although we like to help the poor and the hungry as best that we can, but that's not our primary purpose for existence. Rather, we are a company of people who love the Lord, who love His Word, who love one another, who love others. We have trusted Christ as our Savior by faith. We've been baptized by immersion, and we have covenanted together to be a local church. We're a family, not just a bunch of people. And all that entails, even the word family, we need to work hard at achieving here in our church. We're members one of another. We are set to serve our Savior in the power of the Holy Ghost. Are we perfect people? No, unfortunately. Are we a perfect church? No, not exactly. Not according to our flesh or according to our humanity. We are, of course, perfect in Christ. But we still exist in these bodies of flesh that are prone to temptation. And sometimes we fall, sometimes we mess up, sometimes we don't do what we're supposed to do. But success in the Christian life is always and simply getting back up onto our feet one more time than we've fallen. And then charging ahead for the Lord. Seek to walk with the Lord and to serve Him in faith, trusting that all that we do is pleasing to Him every moment of our lives. So pictures for us an image that we are vitally connected to each other, a living organism dependent upon our head, Christ, one another, to function properly. We're a living body, animated, and may we see that we are all involved as members together here in this place. The building picture gives us something that is designed and stable and well-founded. Founded on the rock Christ Jesus. We are lively stones, a temple to the Lord, fitly joined together to serve the Lord. All comes together like this again. And the bride pictures us in a loving personal relationship with the bridegroom, the Lord Jesus Christ. We are to submit to Him in all areas of our lives and our church. Like last year, right? Everything by faith. We make our decisions not dependent upon what other people may do, whether they are good at what they do or not good at what they do. Our decisions are not to be made upon man, but they are to be made upon the Word of God, the commands of God. We are to do it in faith and trust in Him and seek to please Him in all that we do. So, there we go. Some pictures of the local church. There's a few others, but those are the three main ones that we see in the scriptures, and I trust that just imagining that in your mind's eye might give you a good understanding of where you fit within the life of this church. Now, maybe you're here this morning and you're saved by grace through faith, but maybe you haven't been baptized yet. Please come and talk to me about that. We're happy to help you be baptized, to go through the waters of baptism. Maybe you're here, you're saved, and you're baptized by immersion, but you haven't yet thought about joining Berean in a formal way. Talk to me about that, too. We'd be happy to give you some helps and some direction for all of that in the days ahead. So please, just let me know where you are and what we can do to help. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for our time together this morning, even though it has been kind of a whirlwind look through these pictures of the local church. We thank you that we have your word in our hands, and we can go back and look at these references once again and spend some time musing upon the things that you have said and trying to figure out where we fit into it all and how we can best help meet the needs of this local church and making that positive impact within the body, the building, and even the bride of the Lord Jesus in these days. Thank you for your word. Help us to be good students of it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.